VorpalNetwork.com.
This episode of The Tome is brought to you by RPGNow.com, your leading source of digital game books, and Gamer's Attic, your source for physical game products that gives you a free gift with every order.
This is Eitan Bernstein, author of Dragon to Faerûn and the Magic Item Compendium and Exemplars of Evil, and you're listening to The Tome.
Welcome to The Tome, episode 103. The Tome is a D&D news, reviews, and interviews show, and I'm your Tome host, Jeff Greiner. In this episode, we're going in with crossbows blazing and air support on their way to drop friendly fire on us while dodging the enemy lightning bolts. Let's go, go, go! With Wraith Recon. Not much to announce here today, other than keep up with me, the show, and the Vorpal Network on Twitter. Links are in the show notes. Head over to the forums when they're all fixed and better, and listen up to my review of Wraith Recon. But first, our sponsor, RPGNow.com. My pick of the episode is Thrones of Punjar from Goodman Games. You can get the usual Goodman Games quality adventure, this one being the third set in the city of Punjar, each one of a higher level, allowing you to have a loosely connected campaign with these adventures. And of course, you get the PDF discount of being able to buy this adventure for only about $8. Check it out now at rpgnow.com and tell them The Tome Show sent you.
Get the newest releases at RPG Now. Only at RPG Now can you get the absolute latest and best releases from fantastic publishers like Fat Dragon Games, Green Ronin Publishing, and Wizards of the Coast. There are new products every single day. Come to rpgnow.com and get them the instant they're available.
And now, Wraith Recon, a book from Mongoose Publishing that begins a series of Wraith Recon books, including Mission Pack 1, implying, of course, that there will be others, and Enemy Within. Check out this review to see if this very niche style of play is for you. Okay, so I am here to explain to you Wraith Recon by Brian Steele, put out by Mongoose Publishing. First of all, I have to say that you need to look for this product carefully if this sounds interesting to you, because if you look at the cover, and if you look at the way it's set up, just the way it sits on a game shelf, it doesn't look like a D&D book. It looks like you've got special forces, and you have to look a little closer before you realize those are crossbows and magic and what have you. So, it's not the cover art, while stunning, does not easily let you know that you're about to pick up a 4th edition D&D product. So let me tell you a little bit what's in here. So first of all, let me explain that this book does pretty well as a supplement, but it's really more of a setting than it is a supplement. And the introduction to the book may be a little bit longer than necessary, eating up some valuable page space. The art in the book includes some old school illuminated map, complete with sea monsters floating through the oceans. The exterior art is good, but like I said, can be confusing. And the interior good is really quite fantastic. I mean, color would be cool, but it's a third-party publisher, so I'm not entirely surprised to see the black and white. Chapter 1 describes Wraith Recon as an organization of clandestine squads. They're scattered all throughout the world and working to protect their kingdom, Dardaric. This has some great information for how to run a Wraith Recon, or a Wraith, their role in the organization, the leadership, the procedures, all of the little details and minutiae of what it's like to be in a military organization like this. Chapter 2 gives you rules on how to make a Wraith, how to make your PC. They start at first level, but they start with a ton of extra items compared to a normal first level D&D character. This makes a lot of logical sense, since they're working with a large organization. Why wouldn't they equip their people very, very well? It does, however, risk some serious unbalancing of the game mechanics. And the equipment they get includes this thing called the Spellcom Omni Lens, which it attaches over their eyes and allows for communication to call in magical help, air support, and what have you. It's all very, very pseudo-technological and very, very powerful. This makes me wonder, is this, again, as a supplement, I don't know that I'm going to be able to pick this up and just use the normal D&D rules, throw together, get together encounters and adventures, and run a game with this, because the PCs are going to be much more powerful and have abilities that are not counted on in the game. However, Mongoose Publishing is putting out a series of adventures that goes along well with this, so I suspect that's really where you're going to be going. But more on that later. Chapter 3 describes the world at large. You've got dangerous oceans, islands of arms-making giants, kingdoms at constant war, an evil empire in the far distance, and all kinds of extra goodies like that. Plus, you've got gods and the story of how they sort of upset the balance that led to all the constant warring in the world, which sort of makes sense given that most of the gods are evil. From there, you get tons and tons of history and detail, important places, people, and honestly, it starts to get to be sort of a drag in that section. The text goes a little long, it goes a little heavy, and it was a chore to read through all of that information for you. It gives tons of information in the next section on the Army of Dardaric, how it works, procedure, on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Again, you get lost in the minutiae, you get lost in the detail. If you're the kind of person who wants a D&D 4th edition pseudo-military, pseudo-modern military sort of situation that makes sense and seems realistic, this might be fantastic for you. It really drag things down for me in terms of reading this book. Then you get various details on the Kingdom of Lorne, which Dardaric, your home kingdom, is at war with. And then they go on to the Kingdom of Torres, a more primitive swamp land run by lizard folk, and the Wildlands, appropriately named as it's inhabited by savages and monsters, then the cult of Tomasin, an organization that has previously heavily manipulated Dardaric, but has been in a sort of decline in recent years. Then you get a list of minor threats, including other kingdoms, pirates, undead, and on and on. Then a section on exactly how Wraith Recon missions work, from the pre-briefings and assignment of a mission through deployment, exploration, and debriefing. Basically saying every mission should follow the same format with, you know, your occasional twist, but this is how the organization sets it all up and pulls you out. And then finally it finishes with a Campaign Zero adventure to sort of get you started before you get into the actual campaigns that they're going to be publishing. So the pros. If this setting sounds interesting to you, and if a campaign of clandestine missions to save your homeland sounds like fun, this book will get you started with gusto. And they'll be happy to sell you a whole campaign worth of adventures. The cons. There's way too much info in a writing style that seriously drags. It's not an easy read. And this is not really a supplement. It's a setting book. And it's designed to launch a campaign that they're also selling. Using it as a supplement on how to run special forces in any world of high fantasy, well, in that area, this book fails. To get you started on the Wraith Recon campaign, then I think this book is going to be a huge success. And of course, the other con is that the exterior art of the book seems very non-D&D-ish. The price of this book is $34.95. I would say if the campaign sounds like fun, it is maybe worth $20, $30 at most. If the campaign's concept is not for you, then it honestly has virtually no value. It doesn't add anything to your game unless you're going to play a Wraith Recon game. So that's Wraith Recon.
Gamers Attic Attack! We have dice of every stripe, any color scheme and shape you can imagine. Exclusive dice, gold-plated dice, blank dice, label dice, cheat dice, D8 ability dice, crystal dice, time dice within dice, and jumbo foam dice for when you feel the inescapable urge to pelt your fellow players or annoying commercial announcers. And that's just a few of them! We sell enough dice to form a high-intensity plastic bridge from the Earth to the Moon. What's more, any order over $30 gets $3 off when you use the coupon code RADIO. Who wants a set?
I do.
Who else?
Me.
Anyone else?
Why are you ignoring me?
I'm not ignoring you. I'm cutting you off.
What?
You order a new set every day.
So?
Is there a 12-step program for Diceaholics? Because you, sir, have a problem.
That's really strange of you to say.
Green frosted, red speckled, violet glitter, blue translucent. You couldn't say no to these beauties if you wanted to.
I'm not an addict. I could stop collecting marbles anytime I like.
Marbles? You haven't been buying marbles this whole time. You've been buying dice.
That explains why I keep losing the marbles tournament. Those 4 and 6-sided marbles aren't really all that great for rolling.
You're not only a dice junkie, you're dumb, son. Dumb.
So can I get a cent?
What'll it hurt? Sure.
Woohoo! Marbles!
Remember, folks, use the coupon code RADIO to get $3 off any order over 30 bucks at gamersaddict.com.
And that there is episode 103. Email me at thetomeshow@gmail.com or visit the forums at vorpalnetwork.com. Review the show on iTunes or tell people about it. And don't forget to consider checking out the Tome's Amazon store for products discussed on the show and more. The show gets part of the proceeds, and that helps keep us on the air. And once again, you can find it all, along with other links from the episode, at thetomeshow.com. This has been episode 103, Wraith Recon of...
I'm on the wall.